Man, if you could see me for who I am without the Lord, whew, you wouldn't want to be sitting there listening to me. And if I could see you, I wouldn't want to preach to you, amen. Amen, all but Junior, amen. Maybe Marilyn and some of them there, amen. What a blessing. God just loves us. God just loves us. What a Savior. Unconditional love. And I am glad of that. I've had a question brought to me. Now, I couldn't answer. It's whatever y'all would like to do. But somebody asked me the question if we wanted to have ice cream after church tonight. So, all in favor, say aye. Well, all right, maybe if you'll bring a freezer or something or make it at home today or whatever, we'll cool off with a little ice cream after church tonight, amen. And I don't know, we may talk to the preacher and see if he can cut it short, but I don't know about that. No guarantees, amen. No guarantees, but so right after the service tonight, we'll try to have a little fellowship then. That'll be fine. Is it okay to, Miss Janice, can we meet at your place tonight after church? She says not a problem. As long as you bring the ice cream, though. But that's the stipulation. You got to bring the ice cream. Amen. Good. Amen. I'll bring me. Amen. Now we'll be glad to do it. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12. I want to look at some things this morning concerning tactics and characteristics of a good soldier, a good warrior. Now we celebrate this weekend as Memorial Day weekend. Originally known as Decoration Day. It originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. The Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, claimed more lives than any conflict in the U.S. history and required the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. By the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to these countless fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and reciting prayers. And that's how that Memorial Day got started. It was started really and truly in the late 1860s, in honoring the soldiers that had fallen. And the interesting thing was, is they didn't care who they were. North, South, they didn't care. They honored them because they gave their lives. Yeah. That's true history. Right. It's true history. The problem we got now is that people are trying to erase that history. And when we erase that history, you know what you're doing? You're erasing those people. Yeah. And that's dishonoring. Yeah. That's dishonoring. And that's horrible. So, what we need to do is we need to stay out of that side of the run, amen, and get out of that. And we need to thank God for the soldiers. We need to thank God for our liberties and thank God for those who did die for these freedoms so that we can still enjoy them today, amen. And here's the problem. The worst part of this generation coming up now is they know nothing about those sacrifices. All they hear is the propaganda that is in the news and the Laodicean type attitudes of I want what is deserving to me and I want what I want. And they know nothing about the true history of what really took place in our country, and they don't care. Just to be blunt with you. They know nothing of the sacrifices. And so here's the thing, just like the Bible teaches, this book teaches in the Old Testament, how it teaches us that when we turn from God, God's going to turn from us. And we must understand that the real freedom that we actually are able to enjoy came to us from the cross. Amen? It came from the cross. And that's the greatest memorial that we should ever keep. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." He said in verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" You ever wondered why they put crosses on tombstones and on the graves and all that stuff? You ever wondered that? Amen. That's where your real freedom started. Amen. It's a memorial. Amen. It's a memorial, and that's where they come from. I want to look at this about the traits of a warrior and the characteristics of a warrior here in 1 Chronicles. And it's all through the scriptures of warriors and valiant men, mighty men, and all this stuff. And I want to look at this morning and just look at some of this and try to be a help to you. And maybe we could see some of the things that we need to pursue as being a warrior and a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that we're in a battle? The church is supposed to be made up of a mighty army. Amen. And we need to understand what that means. Now, Brother Drew sang the song there and led it in the music about hold the fort. We sang the song this morning about stand up for Jesus. Amen. We sang another song, and the deal is when you sing about 90% of the songs that's in that songbook, they're marching songs. They're militant. Amen. And so what is that, man? It's like a mighty army standing and marching and moving and doing the things for God. Amen. And that's what that's about. When you sing those songs and sing them in the proper fashion, it should stir your heart to be mighty soldiers for God. That's the reason why the music makes a difference. Amen. It's the reason why the songs make a difference. Amen. It ought to stir something inside of you about who you really should be and who you really are. Amen. It ought to stir something in there. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to preach. I appreciate the opportunity to stand for God. I appreciate the opportunity. We wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the cross. Amen. We wouldn't have it if it wasn't for those that fought for our liberties and freedoms. Amen. So we look at these things in 1 Chronicles in chapter 12. I'd like to look at this thing. And this is where David was over in Ziklag. And how he got over into Ziklag was that when Saul was chasing him and trying to kill him, he stayed over there with the Philistines. And so the king over the Philistines gave him that city. And so David was there in Ziklag. And so when the Philistines was going to do their final battle against Israel, against Saul and his army over there, David was going to go and fight with them against God's people. And of course, God's hand was in on that and wouldn't let him do it. Amen. So as he started to go out with the Philistines, the leaders of the warriors started talking to the king and said, "Hey, we don't want David going with us." Because he's an Israelite, he's a Jew, and if he gets out there in the battle and starts seeing that his people are dying, he's liable to turn against us, amen. And I'm sure he would have, because that was his heart. I mean, that was, if you read the things about David, we might see some of that here in a few minutes, whenever Saul died and Jonathan died, it hurt him, amen. When Abner died, and we'll look at that, but I mean, it just, he said, these are mighty men. He said, the mighty have fallen. He said, these are great men. And there was something in his heart whenever they had fallen, and it was a part of him. It was something inside of him. And so we're seeing here that David had some mighty men that came to him, and I want you to notice just a couple of things there. In verse number 1, he says, "Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while yet he kept himself close because Saul the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men." Notice this. They were mighty men and they were helpers of the war. They were armed. Notice that. Mighty men, if they're helpers in the war, it said that they were armed. What does that mean? It means they were armed, amen. It means they had armory. It means they had weapons, amen. You can't, listen, can I tell you this? You can't be a helper in a war if you ain't got a gun. You can't be a helper in the battle if you don't have a weapon. Don't let them take your weapons, amen. I'm not trying to be, get our own cult and all that garbage. That ain't it at all. I'm saying you got to protect yourself. They were armed, it said. They were armed with bows. And could notice this, they're ambidextrous. And it says, and when they, it says, and could use both right and the left hand. And it says, and hurling the stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. David even got to the place to where he loved Saul and Jonathan so much that they came from the tribe of Benjamin. And David knew that the tribe of Benjamin were very good with bow and arrows. And so when Saul and Jonathan died, to keep that tradition going and keep that ability going, David started teaching the other tribes how to use a bow and arrow so that it would honor Saul and Jonathan. He loved those men. David was a warrior, but he still had a heart. Amen. So we look at those things about the warriors. But here's where I want to get some things here this morning about these traits of the warrior. In verse 8, and the Gadites, it said, they're separated themselves unto David. It says, into the hold of the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountain. We won't read all those names, but their names are there. Amen. You can read about Benaiah. He was a mighty man for Solomon after David had passed away. You can read about Abishai. You can read about those men. You can read about Abner. You can read about those. I find something interesting, though. Joab was basically the general over David's army. Joab was David's nephew. So was Abishai. And so they were brothers. And so Abner had killed one of the other brothers, and Joab wound up killing Abner. And David said, you know, that ain't right. He said, a great man has fallen. Amen. And he didn't like it that Joab killed him. Now listen, Joab was the general over David's army and over his warriors. And Joab was, for sure, he was a warrior. But can I tell you this? Joab was nothing but a devil, amen. He was wicked. And so out of all the mighty men that David had, Joab was never mentioned as a mighty man. Never. Why? Because, man, he didn't have the right heart. He didn't have the right attitude. He wasn't right in the things that he did. He killed Absalom, David's son. And David didn't like that. I mean, that was his own cousin. I mean, you know, it was just a mess. And so David, he never mentioned Joab as being one of his mighty men. So you find out that when Solomon came on the throne, David told Solomon, he says, Joab, there's Joab. He said, don't let him go. Don't let him go. In other words, kill him. Get rid of him. Amen. And he said the same thing about Shimei. Amen. I won't get into all that with Shimei, but Shimei cursed him and threw rocks at him and did all kind of stuff to David. But anyway, the mighty men. Let's have our thoughts this morning about what it takes to be a mighty man, a mighty warrior, the traits of a warrior for God. Amen. And what it takes. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll see what God has for us. Father, we ask that you'd help us this morning. We've already sang the songs, and God, I pray that hearts are stirred, and God, I'm praying, Lord, that we can have something that'll help your people today. Thank you, Lord, for us being able to stand this morning with the liberties and the freedoms that we have. And God, help us not to turn them in upon ourselves as you tell us and you teach us. God, I pray if there's someone here this morning that is lost, I pray they'd be saved. I pray they'd realize, Lord, that how close they are to an eternity in hell. And God, I pray that they wouldn't go there. I pray they'd be saved today. I pray if there's a backslider, somebody that knows they're not right, God, I'm asking you that they'd draw close to you, God, and get that thing fixed. Lord, I love you. Thank you for the precious book and this time we have. And Lord, help us not to waste it. In Jesus' name, amen. So we look at this thing here, and I'm going to take this thing from this verse here and try to give you what this verse tells us this morning. You see there in verse number one, verse number eight, we look at this thing. The first thing that is mentioned is, it says, and of the Gadites there, it says, separated themselves unto David. Can I tell you that this is what the Bible says in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. Amen. If you want to be a good warrior and be that warrior that we should be for the Lord and for our church and for our people, we got to be separated from the things of this world. Amen. We got to be separated from the things that is driving our flesh and those things and the desires of our heart and the desires of our flesh. We got to be separated from those things. But notice what the verse says. It says there that they're separated themselves unto David. What does that mean? It means they left this and they came over here to this. Amen. They left the things that they were desiring of a flesh and wanting to do for themselves, and they went over here to follow their commander. Amen. And follow that leader. The Bible says that we can have two masters, but you're only going to serve one. Amen. Luke 16 says in verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Do you know what mammon is? Mammon is money. Listen, in the last days, 40, 50 years ago, that wouldn't have made a whole lot of difference because nobody had any money. I mean, you know, and now on every corner, there's a millionaire. Hey, on any given Sunday in the fall, you'll find 30 and 40 and 50 or 100 millionaires sitting in a stadium all over this country. Amen. They're running up and down the field. They're getting paid millions to play games. Amen. And do those things. And I'm telling you, at the end time, the Bible says you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve money. You can't have both as your God. Amen. You can have both, but only one's going to be your master. Amen. Amen. You're going to serve one or the other. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having that stuff. It's what you do with it. Is it your master? Is that what you're following? Or are you following God? The Bible says these men, as warriors, separated themselves unto David. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says that Paul wrote there, and he says that he was separated unto the gospel. Amen. The gospel of God. And so what happens is Paul, we know the salvation of Paul, how Paul was saved in Acts chapter number 9. We know that the Lord saved him but the life that he had previous to that, the life of where he was before that, he was killing Christians. He had a license to do that. He had a license to go and get people out of their houses and carry them and get them arrested, get them killed, amen, martyred them. But you know something? God called him and God separated him from that old life unto the gospel. If you're going to be a good warrior, if we're going to be the soldier, we're going to be this one that's going to be in the battle. Listen, we got to separate ourselves from these things. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. There's things that you've got to do. There's things that you take care of. You got families, you got kids, you got grandkids, you got homes, you got jobs, we got those things. And that's okay. You have to do those things. God set it up with a monetary system like that, and it runs that way. But I'm telling you, there's certain things you don't need to be messing with, amen. You just need to be serving God. Ask God what He wants for you to do. What is this, man? The warrior, he must be committed. That's what it's talking about. Committed. We're not committed today. We're not committed. So what is it you need to be committed to? You need to be committed, first of all, to the call. Amen. The call to be a soldier. The call to be a warrior. The second thing you need to be committed to is to the commander. Amen. We need to be committed to the commander. Amen. The one that's leading, you got to be committed to it. If you don't, listen, if you're not believing in what the commander's doing, you're not going to be a good soldier. And the third thing, you need to be committed to the cause. Amen. You know why we see in the Civil War of what they did? They're making a lie out of the things that they died for this day and time. Amen. They're lying to it and about those things. I'm telling you, they were fighting for the cause. Amen. They wanted their liberties. They wanted their freedoms. Amen. And they were fighting for that, that they could keep those liberties and keep those freedoms. But that ain't what you hear on the news. That ain't what you hear in social media, amen. Listen, why would you do it? You'd do it for the call. Amen. There ought to be something stirring in your heart to serve God, the calling for somebody to stand up and be a good soldier, a warrior, amen. And you'd do it for the commander, amen. You do it for the commander. Who's your commander? The one that died on the cross for you. Amen. You do it for him. Amen. What did they do, man? They'd give their life for David. They'd give their life for him. And I could stand up here and read you stories of where that soldiers in time past, not just Civil War, but World War I, World War II, and all those things, where that those soldiers gave their lives for their commanders. They honored them. Amen. And then you got to believe in what you're standing for. Hey, listen, war today is different than it was then. It's a big difference than it was then. Amen. Today, you push buttons. Back then, you saw face to face. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. They can push buttons anywhere in this world and take out a whole country right now. Just about any country could do that. Amen. They got stuff buried everywhere in the mountains and in the hills and valleys and stuff underneath homes and underneath cities and things like that. And I'm telling you, folks, they could push a button and it's different than it was back then. There's no emotion in what's going on now. Amen. That's a whole different message for a different time, but I'm just saying, separated. Folks, we got to be separated if we're going to be that warrior, if we're going to be that. And you know what our problem is we're not separating ourselves. We're just not. Notice the Bible says right there that they separated themselves. They separated themselves. It was in their heart. It was something they wanted to do. They knew they had to do it. Amen. And we're not doing that today to be that good warrior. Amen. Everybody okay? Amen. That's just the first point. Amen. Ice cream sounded better all the time, isn't it? Amen. Maybe I should have had some for breakfast. Amen. Hey, can I show you this? Look right here. It says there, the Gadites, they're separating themselves unto David. And notice this, to the wilderness. And it calls them, notice this, men of might. Men of might. Listen, the men of might we got around today are men that says, well, I might get up and go to work. I might get up and do something. I might go over here and help out. No, that ain't what it's talking about. These were strong men. These were physically strong men. These were men that didn't mind standing up and getting into battle, amen. They were not only physically strong, but they were mentally strong. Listen, to do the battles and to be able to do the things that needed to take place, they had to have the mental capacity to be able to do that and still fight, still go, amen. When the blood was shed and when the screams were going on and all that stuff was happening, they still had to keep the cause and the call and the commander in their mind, amen. They still had to do that. What is that? That's a man of might. That's a man of strength. That's a man of power that could do that, amen. Not that I might go to church. Amen. Not that I might read my Bible. That ain't what he's talking about. I might pray. Amen. Everybody okay? Amen. That ain't the might we need. Amen. We need men of might. We need some ladies of strength. We need some prayer warriors. Amen. We need some folks that are strong in these things, strong in the Word, strong in church, strong in the prayer life. We need the men and ladies of might, power, strong. Look in 2 Samuel chapter number 2. I mean chapter number 23. I'm sorry. 2 Samuel. Go back a couple of books to 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want you to notice here what happens here when the men of might have the right mindset and they have the right physical attributes and all these. 2 Samuel 23, you got that? Look in verse 15. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And notice, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. What did they do? I'm set. Did you hear what I said a while ago? You got to have the mindset. You got to understand that there's three things. It's the call. It's the commander. It's the cause. Amen. Here's David out here, and the Philistines has Bethlehem over there, and they've got it fortified. And man, the battle's going on, and David's over here, and he's saying, man, oh, that I could just taste the water of the well at Bethlehem. Amen. And you know something? There was three mighty men that they knew what their call was. They knew who their commander was. They knew their calls. And they listened to their commander and said, hey, he didn't ask for it, but he longed for it. We want to help our commander. We want to help push him along. Let's go get him some water. Amen. Amen. Who did it? The mighty men. The mighty men. That's who did it. That's who did it. You know who's going to make it? The mighty. You know who's going to fall out? The weaklings. The ones that might go to church. The ones that might do something. Amen. Not the mighty, but the might. They're going to fall out. Amen. Don't be a might. Amen. Don't be a might be. Amen. I hope this makes sense. But these were the men of might. These were David's. These were three of David's mighty men. Mighty men. Man, hey, listen, we're supposed to be warriors for the Lord. Amen. What are we doing? We're honoring those that died. We're honoring those that fought for us. The least we could do is thank God for it. The least we could do is be grateful for what they did. Amen. The least we could do is those things. These were men of might. These were mighty men. And I tell you this, that's a good trait for a warrior. Amen. A good trait for a soldier. Can I tell you, it's not only that. You look at the verse, he said it was men of might. And not only the men of might, but look at that. Men of war. Men of war, fit for the battle. Hey, we're running here. We're doing okay. We'll finish up as soon as we can, okay? But if you look at that thing, these were men of war fit for the battle. Fit for the battle. Men of war? Yeah. Yeah. They had been trained. They had been prepared. They had been taught about the war and about how to do battle. And not only did they have the preparation, not only did they have their training. Jared is one of the ones that just recently, within the last year, he spent 5 years, right? Seemed like 30 or 40, right? Amen. But he spent 5 years there in the Marines. And what did they do for all those 5 years? There was training after training after training after training. Yep. That's what it was. Why? To make them fit for war. To prepare them for war. Amen. You know what you're doing by coming to church every Sunday? You know what you're doing as I study and as you study, as we prepare? Amen. What you're doing is you're preparing yourself for battles, for the war. Amen. Listen, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're not fit for war. Why? Because you're going to get axed. You're going to get cut. You're going to get taken out. Amen. Why? Because you're not prepared. You're not prepared. Amen. I'll show you something. If you'll go back to the book of Judges back here, a little further back in the book of Judges, you'll find there that there was something going on whenever God led the Israelites into their promised land. Judges chapter number 3. Notice this. There must be a time of testing. There must be a time of training. There must be a time of these things. Why? Because it'll show where your strength is. Not only will it show where your strength is, listen to me, folks, it'll show where your loyalty is. When you get into testing time, you know what it's going to do? It's going to show whether or not you're going to stick with it. It's going to show whether or not you're going to be loyal to the cause. That's why people don't like testing. People don't like that stuff. Why? Because it shows you who you really are. And you don't want to change, and you don't want nobody to know who you really are. Amen. Everybody okay? Judges 3, look at this, verse 1. Now these are the nations, notice very closely, which the Lord left to do what? To prove Israel. To prove Israel. Why? He's preparing them for war. He's preparing them for battles. He says this, listen folks, do you not know that Israel's in a battle right now? Do you not know they've been in battles for all these centuries, all these years? They hate Israel. Why? Because it's God's people. They hate them. And God left these people in there to teach them some stuff. Notice this. It says, to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war. Amen. It said, at the least, he said, such as before knew nothing thereof. They didn't know how to battle. They didn't know, all they knew was to try to protect themselves. They didn't know. Listen, he taught them how to protect themselves. He taught them how to use the weapons. He taught them how to prepare and be in the war. Listen to verse 4. And they were to prove Israel, notice, by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord. You see that? Which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. You know what? Testing's going to prove who you are. Amen. God will bring battles. God will bring things in your life to really prove to you who you are. God already knows who you are. But you find out who you are when you get into these battles and you get into this testing. You get into this. Why? It's to prove you. It's to prove you. Prove you for what? I don't know. Maybe God might want to use you for something. I mean, you know, we pray, Lord, just bless this, Lord, bless that, but we're not willing to get into battle to help with any of that stuff. Amen. I mean, is this okay? I mean, here we are. America's in a mess, right? Our whole world's in a mess. The only country that is still somewhat free, here we are. We're giving up all of our liberties, and we got folks that might come to church. We got folks that might pray and might read their Bible and raising their kids in the same fashion. And what do you think your kids are going to be in another 5 or 10 years? They're going to be might people. Amen. And what's going to happen? You're going to lose your battles. And we fuss and whine because of the things that come in our life. And I'm telling you, God is trying to prepare you. God's trying to prepare us. Make us strong. Make us where that we can do battle, where that we can fight. Amen. Where that we can do these things. I mean, these little sissy Christians running around today. Amen. We just going to love everybody. I mean, we just, you know, God is a God of love. And he's not going to do this. And they ain't reading their Bible. Or at least they're not reading the King James Bible anyway. Amen? God is a God of war. Listen, I'm not a proponent for war. I'm not saying we got to... What I'm saying is war is necessary sometimes. I'm not a proponent for war. I don't want people to die. I don't want that. God doesn't want them to die. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to do battle sometime. You're going to have to. You're going to have to. Amen? I hope this helps. I ain't trying to scare nobody. I'm not trying to beat up on anybody. I'm just saying, folks, God has put these things in our path to teach us, to train us, to prove us, prepare us, to show us who we are if we're going to be loyal to the things of God. Amen. He puts those things there. And these guys right here, it says they were fit for the battle. Amen. I got clothes in my closet that don't fit. Amen. They're not fit to wear. Amen. Amen. Why? Because they don't fit. They just don't fit. And you know something? There's people that just ain't fit for battle. Just not fit for the war. Amen. They just can't. And man, I could get on some stuff this morning, but I just make people mad, and I don't want to do that. Amen. It's just that I just ain't going to do it. It just stirs my heart, and I'll say things. I don't want to beat people mad. That's not where I'm at. But I'm just telling you, sometimes we got to get up off the stinking couch and do something. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Cut the TV off, cut the phones off, cut the iPads, and cut off Facebook off, and quit talking about doing stuff, and get up and do it. Amen. Amen. Because I'm telling you, if we don't fight that stuff off, we're going to be fighting it in our living rooms. Yeah. We're going to be fighting it in our homes. Amen. I'm just telling you. And you say, well, preacher, I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. That's not what I'm doing. But it's just like Sergeant York said when he was in World War I. Man, he didn't want to go to war because he didn't want to kill anybody. He said, and looked in the Bible, and he said it's wrong to kill. And he's not going to war. But he took a little time off and went home, and he prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God what he should do. And he come back, told his commander, he said, "Well, I'll go." And he went, and he became a hero, and he's got a base up there, a Sergeant York, where they built him a house up there just on the other side of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, a great hero in World War I. And his commanding officer asked him, said, "What changed your mind? How come you did this?" Man, he captured all kind of Germans and everything. And man, he single-handedly. And he said, "What changed your mind about killing folks?" He said, "Well," he said, "it was like this. The Lord let me know it wasn't that I was going to kill anybody. It was that I had to kill them because they were trying to kill me." And I'm telling you, the devil wants you dead. The devil wants to kill you and destroy your church and destroy your home. It's not you're going out to battle to try to harm or hurt anybody. It's you've got to do that because he has no mercy. Does that make sense? He's gonna kill you. He's not gonna play around. He's gonna take your kids. He's gonna take your children. He's already took the schools. Amen. Amen. And then look what a mess we're in. Hey, they don't even know if they're male or female. Amen? They don't even know who they are. You tell me we ain't lost some battles and we ain't lost some wars. It's because people won't pick up their weapon. It's because they won't do battle. They won't fight because they want to be sissy Christians and just not do anything. Well, you just keep doing that. You just keep doing that. Amen? Kids wind up in jail. I could go a lot of places. So what do we got to do? I'm almost done. I gotta take a breath. Amen. Look at this thing. He says there in the same verse. He said these were men of war, fit for battle. And notice this, and could handle shield and a buckler. What does that mean? It means they could use their weapons. Means they could use their shields. And they could use their buckler. What's a buckler? Buckler is basically like a shield, not a shield, but a spear, a javelin. But the Bible tells us that we have another weapon that we can use. Amen. Anybody know what that is? That's right. It's called the sword. Listen, a good warrior knows how to use his weapon. Amen. The Bible says that this book right here is as sharp as a two-edged sword. Amen. A two-edged sword. When you get into Ephesians chapter number 6 and you start reading that thing about the armor and those things there, you'll find all that armor, but you'll find there that there's also a sword. Amen. The Word of God. They could use the shield and the buckler. Can you use that book? Do you know how to use that book as a weapon against the devil? As a weapon against the world and the worldliness and the garbage that's trying to bombard your home? Amen. Can you use that book to keep that garbage out of your head and out of your heart? Do you know how to use that weapon? Again, I'll say that here it is in the Marines and in the Army and in different places and the different branches. You know what they teach them? They teach them how to use their weapon. They keep that weapon with them. They teach them to take it apart and clean it and put it back together. As a matter of fact, they have contests in some of that stuff, if I'm not wrong, of taking it apart, cleaning it, making sure it's all good, put that thing back together. Amen. And folks, let me tell you something. You need that sword. You need to be able to memorize some of that stuff because there's coming a time that you won't have it with you when you need it. You better have it in your heart. You better have it in your head. They're putting out them Bible verses, amen, for these kids to learn during camp. What is that? Man, it's to protect them. It's to put a shield around them. It's to be able for them to use a buckler and a sword, a shield and those things, amen, when the devil comes at them because mom and daddy ain't going to be around all the time. Right. I'm telling you, folks, you need to know how to use your weapon. You need to know how to use that book. Then you know how to be able to study that thing, be able to compare scripture with scripture, be able to know about this thing, how that transitions from Old to New Testament, transitions from the law to grace, amen, transitions from the Jew to the Gentile, and then the transition back to the Jew from the Gentile, amen. You need to know where those verses are at. You need to know how they apply to you, amen. You need to know those things. Why? Because it's good, sound doctrine. And isn't that what Paul told Timothy? He said, teach sound doctrine, amen. Yeah. And that's what that stuff is. Amen. A good warrior. A good warrior. The traits of a good warrior. Can I give you one last one? Maybe. Amen. Look in the same verse. You didn't know there's so much in a verse, did you? I'm telling you, you ain't going to beat this book. Just not going to beat this book. One verse, man, it'll tell you exactly who you need to be for the Lord. One verse. Notice this. It says they can handle the shield and the buckler, but notice this. Whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as a rose upon the mountain. Faces as lions. You know, that's the most fierce animal in the forest, in the jungle. When you hear that roar of that lion, faces... Faces like lions? Yeah. Can I tell you something? If you're going to be that good warrior, not only should you have these things here, but you need to look the part. You need to look the part. People see you, they need to know you're a Christian. They need to know you're standing for what's right. They need to know by your face that you're not going to put up with stuff that they're pushing on you. Amen. You don't believe that way. You're not going to let it in your home. Amen. You're not going to allow those things to get in your heart. You need to look the part. Amen. Amen. Looking the part? Yeah, look the part. You know, the thing of it is here it is Sunday, and we had to stop at a store on the way in here, and they got some water. But you know something? When I went in that store, there was no doubt they knew where I was going. I'm not saying everybody's got to have a tie, and I'm not telling you how to dress. I'm just saying if you're going to be a good warrior, they need to know where you stand. Hey, if there was a warrior that came in here today, if there was a soldier that came in here today, you know what? He'd probably have an automatic rifle, amen? He'd probably either have his camouflage and all that stuff on and be, you know what? And you'd say, oh, is he a ballerina? You wouldn't say it to his face, amen. Amen. There'd be no doubt who this person was, amen. You'd know exactly what they're presenting, amen, and represent, right? Why can't we represent God in that fashion? Why can't we look the part? Why can't people say, hey, there goes a Christian. There goes somebody that loves God. And they may not know it just exactly just by the way you look, but they'll know there's something different about you, amen. They can tell that when you come around that you ain't like the rest of them. Why? Because you've already separated yourself unto the commander, unto the call, and unto the cause, amen. You've already separated yourself, and they can tell there's something different about you. Amen. They could see it in your walk. They could see it in your talk. They could see it in what you've been doing. Amen. It's just a little bit of time being around you. Their faces were fierce as lions. They look like warriors. Amen. And I tell you, the church today doesn't look nothing like that. Amen. It looks nothing like that today. We've seen the Word of God being watered down. They take hell out of it, amen. They take, in some of them, they take the cross out of it, amen. They want Jesus to be some little weakling, amen. They'll paint the pictures of some little anemic man, you know, that's just whimpering around. No, he was a warrior. He was a man's man, amen. He was a carpenter. He probably had arms bigger than Popeye's, amen. He was a soldier for God. He lived for God, and people knew it when he came around, amen. Amen. But boy, they've watered all that stuff down. The churches today have become just weak. They've become just not an army, any kind of battler or anything like that. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to offend anybody. Oh, well, if you don't believe Jesus, there's other ways to heaven. Right? I mean, you know, after all, you know, everybody's different, and it's not my place to judge you. It's not my place to say that, you know, that Jesus is the only way. You can find your own way. And, you know, if you live a good enough life and you keep the commandments and you love everybody, you're for sure going. You know, my mamaw, you know, she was a good lady. And you know, she, you know, did this and that. But, you know, she was still a good lady. And I know she's there. And if she's there, I know I'm going. Don't want to offend nobody. Why? Because you can't serve two masters. So if you're offending folks, you're going to lose your tithes and offerings. You're going to lose your paycheck. Right? You're going to lose that stuff. And that's where Joel Osteen is, amen. That's where T.D. Jakes is. That's where all these guys are. Man, we could give you a list. How do you know they're that way? Because they're always begging for money. And they're always making the people feel good. Listen, nowhere in the Bible did God ever tell me to preach the word so people could feel good. It never says that. Matter of fact, he says reprove, rebuke. Amen. I've done asked 3 or 4 times, but I ain't going to ask but one more time. Are y'all okay? Too late now. I'm just saying, do you want to be a warrior or you want to be a weakling? Yeah, I mean, you want to be a warrior or you want to be a fallout? You want to be mighty or you want to be a might? It's your choice. Your choice. These men looked like, I mean, they had the face of lions. Man, they were fierce. And people knew that they meant business. Amen. They meant business. And folks, we need to get out of business with God. Memorial Day. Who were these men? These were the kind of men that we need to honor. These were the kind of men that we need to remember. Why? Because these are the kind of men that fought so you could sit here on these pews. That's who these men were. Hey, David, when he went and fought Goliath, he didn't ask for that. He didn't go down there and say, hey, I think I'm going to get in a fight today. He didn't do that. But what did he say to his brothers? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Man, with what you know of what's going on in our country, can I ask you, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And then there goes Saul. What did Saul do? Oh, bring that little fellow over here. Let me put my armor on him. Let me show you how to do this, David. You're not a real warrior, so let me show you how to do this. So we got churches that are coming around today. It's like, oh no, that loud preaching and that hollering, that stuff, you know, that's just old stuff. Let me put the modern stuff on you. Oh, that King James Bible. Oh, it's just so archaic. Let's just take that thing away. Let's get you one of these that the people can really understand. Well, why ain't we got great revivals in America now? I mean, if people could really understand it, they know that God is a God of war just as much as a God of love. And they know Jesus died for them. How come we ain't got no great revivals in America like we used to whenever that book was the one that was the number one seller and the number one book? Amen. Listen, I ain't the brightest bulb in the pack or the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I mean, I ain't dumb either. Amen. I can read. I can see what's going on. Is there not a cause? Traits of a good warrior. Can you compare yourself to some of that stuff? Compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and say that you can stand beside Him. Those that have died for our liberties, those that have given their lives for our freedoms, why can't we honor them? Why can't we honor them? We should. We should. Don't let this holiday weekend go by. You know where they get that word holiday, don't you? Don't you? Holiday? Holy day. Holy day. You see, the world's twisted it. See, when we say holiday, we're thinking, man, okay, well, it's time to take off work. We can just enjoy ourselves. We can do that. But the Bible calls them holy days, where He says, I don't want you doing any kind of servitude. I don't want you picking up sticks. I don't want you doing nothing, because it's a holy day. Why? Because He wanted us to be reminded of those liberties and freedoms that He gives. See, but they're at the lakes. Amen. They got their, and there's nothing wrong with the lake. Man, I like the lake. Amen. I do. I like fishing. Amen. There should have been a big amen right there. Because I know there's several in here that love to go fishing. I like going to the boat. Amen. I ain't got no boat, but I can't go unless I get a boat. But I like going in boats. Amen. I like the lake. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't need to be in the place of God. Doesn't need to be in the place of where God says, no, this is a holy day. And we've taken the liberties and turned them all in upon ourselves. Amen. And the world has twisted all that stuff. And we forgot where we come from. We forgot about those that died for us. We forgot about those that gave so much. And y'all know the saying. Y'all know the saying. All gave some, but some gave all. But one really gave it all. He really gave it all. Let me ask you to stand. Ask Mr. Arlene to come to the piano.